Today's episode introduces Michelle Walters, a woman who listened deeply to her inner calling. After years in the corporate world, she felt a pull towards something more meaningful, work that touched the soul, eased the mind, and helped people reconnect with who they truly are. That pull led her to hypnotherapy and ultimately to creating the Make My Hypno app. In our conversation, Michelle shares her personal awakening, how she built a life aligned with her purpose, and why she believes hypnosis is one of the most powerful tools for healing and transformation. We explore quantum healing, the difference between hypnotherapy and regression, and how she became a passionate advocate for working with the subconscious mind. Today's takeaways for you will be what hypnosis actually does and why it's so effective, the surprising clarity and healing available through regression, how quantum healing fits into modern personal growth, and why midlife is the perfect moment to rewrite your inner story. So let's dive into this episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and today I am with Michelle Walters. Michelle is an amazing woman that we met through Podmatch, which we were just talking about, a great place to meet aligned travelers, I'll say, on this journey. Michelle, I gave you a little background in the intro that I recorded about you coming from a corporate career in digital marketing and making a big shift around the time of the pandemic. But I'll just first say welcome, and I can't wait to hear what you have to share today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me on, Maureen.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Now, I'll just say right off the bat, the sort of bread and butter of what you do now is hypnosis. But how did you go from a career in digital marketing, I think it was, to hypnosis that not always...
No, it's not everybody's career path. That's true. I have always been a person who loves things that are creative and love things that are persuasive and really curious about how the mind works. And this is, I think, a big part of the reason why I landed in digital marketing, is it sort of had this bent on being new and different and always changing. I mean, you know, in the 20 something years I have been working in digital marketing, like there were no email blasting tools. There were no website building tools. There was no social, there was no AI, there was none of that stuff when I got started. And so it really provided a lot of opportunity to learn and create and do all of these fun things. But in the context of designing things that were beautiful, designing things that were appealing and attractive and interesting, and oh, well, maybe I should call my Schwab advisor. Maybe I should smell the lavender Clorox that is now available, whatever. And I had a lot of fun with that. Somewhere along the way, around maybe 2018, 2019, I read a novel called The Hypnotist Love Story. And it was about a hypnotherapist who lived in Sydney, Australia. She lived in this beach house with all kinds of things about her life that aren't true about my life that I would love to be true. But it was an entertaining little book. And I thought, I could do that. And so I Googled it. I found a school. I went on the weekends. And I, alongside with my work in digital marketing, I got this certificate to be a clinical hypnotherapist. When the pandemic happened, my life kind of went blah, you know, just like all kinds of things were changing for everybody, but changing also in particular for me. I had been married and my husband was a sick person his whole life, but he wound up passing away in 2011. And then in 2015, I met, oh, man of my dreams. But he was diagnosed with a terminal illness and he passed away during the pandemic in 2021. And I'd sold a house and my son was graduating from high school and all these things happened. And I was like, okay, the universe is telling me that this is the doors opening now to do something different. And if I want to do this, this is a really good time to make the move. And so I pulled out my certificate and hung up a shingle and started meeting people and helping people in a more formal. I'd been doing it a little bit on the side for a couple of years, but really doing much more of my work in hypnotherapy.
Wow.
And I love it. I
That is such a cool
absolutely
story.
love it.
Yeah. Well, and just the story of your life and the losses that you've gone through and the path and the opportunities that present themselves, or just the synchronicity of this book that falls into your lap, and then your light bulb goes off that, oh wow, that's really interesting to me. I'm going to create. And so I love that part of people's story where we're actually, when we're open to the signs and what comes to us, yes, we can be discerning, but it's very fascinating what happens when you follow the path of what could be next.
Yeah, and listening to your heart. I think a lot of us are pushed into paths that are more head paths, you know, more, I should be a doctor because the world needs doctors and it pays well kind of thing. If your heart's not in being a doctor, that's a whole lot of headache and work and strife and the rest of it, you know? It's really essential that people can find a way to be in touch with their heart. And that doesn't mean that your heart doesn't sing different songs at different times in your life. I was very happy for most of my career in the digital marketing phase. I still love that kind of stuff. I'm very techie. We'll probably talk later about my app, but it just felt good to do something radically different.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. And weaving in the digital marketing and that creative piece of it, I really enjoy that part of it too. And putting order to it and consistency is always my thing. But the creative process of putting something out there that didn't exist before has always been kind of fascinating to me. But I also love how you got into that field so early and saw so many changes. And so that part of your path that I'm sure greatly benefits you now in launching all these different sort of arms of your business.
Yeah, you
Yeah.
know, I decided earlier this year, we're recording this at the end of 2025, that I could either get on the AI train or be run over by it.
Okay.
And I decided I was going to get on the train and not be run over by it and not be afraid. And so I decided to go out and build a self-hypnosis app. And I know very few people who would have the energy or interest or chutzpah to do that.
Right.
But, you know, I think partly because of my background of like building new websites, doing things that hadn't been done quite that way before,
Absolutely. Yeah.
it definitely has bolstered my confidence to say, well, just because it hasn't been done before doesn't mean you shouldn't do it or it's not a great idea. I like to help people to play with their imagination, to recognize that, you know, yes, we live in a physical world. We live in a world with realities and mortgages and children and all the rest of it. But it's important to have confidence and play and try new things. And this is a good time. The world is in a world of hurt right now. It is a good time to play with new energies and try new things.
Love that. Yeah, that's such good advice. And I feel like a lot of play, a lot of joy, a lot of creativity is coming online for people because of what's happening in this backdrop and this reality is it's one of the realities, right? But it's wow, how can we choose joy? I woke up from a dream just with that message just a couple of weeks ago. But I want to tune into hypnosis. And so you went and were certified into it. And why is it so important, or can it be an important tool for healing, for revelations, for insights? And what have you learned across these years?
I have learned so much, and I know there's so much more for me to learn, but having a new and better understanding of what is in people's heads, and when sometimes a crisscrossed way of thinking is standing in their way of a better life or more freedom or new opportunities, is just amazing. A few years ago, I've helped people with many problems. I've helped people with phobias and relationship challenges and people who are out of work going back to work and needing some support in that transition. And I've helped people with, you know, plane phobias and an operation phobia. You know, they're going to get an operation and they're anxious about it. I've helped people who couldn't get out of the house from social anxiety, or people who, there were a lot of people right after the pandemic who developed driving anxiety. they'd been drivers before and then they didn't drive for 3 years and something got in their way and that kind of a thing. But just as a good little example, I had a client a few years ago who came to see me because she was paralyzed with terror over bumblebees. And she had been this way since she was 6 years old. She had no idea why. It had always been true. And she'd never been stung. And I was like, okay, this is a weird one. Let's figure this out. So we worked together for a number of sessions, not that many, but a few sessions. And towards the end of our work, we did a regression, which is kind of going back to where this came from. And she recalled a buried or hidden or previously unconscious memory of having been in a garden at age 6 with her mother. And there were bumblebees and roses and lavender and this kind of a thing. She was there in her little dress with her church shoes on. And her mother leaned over to her and said, "Well, we're here at the garden at the hospital because your big sister is upstairs having kidney surgery and it's very serious and she could die." Well, the big sister did not die, but what happened to the little sister, my client, was that she hooked that fear of the bumblebees that were in front of her and were a known, hazard to that fear about her big sister. And so this little thing became a big thing that had caused her to be afraid of being outdoors for her entire life. I mean, this was a woman who would run from her car to my office door. She couldn't go to a picnic. She couldn't hang out on her patio. And after we got rid of the fear of bumblebees, life opened up. And she's very funny. She's like, "Well, I still don't like being outside. It is not my place, but I can walk. From the car. I can go to the boyfriend's picnic. I can do things in the out of doors that were previously terrifying."
That's incredible.
So, this example is, I think, a good example of how sometimes people get something in their heads and they don't know where it came from. And this technique is really helpful at finding that out and reframing things so that life is a little better, a little rosier.
That's really cool. So I am reading a book right now called Waking the Tiger by Peter Levine, and that's about trauma. And he's a leading researcher and clinician within the field of trauma, but what you're saying speaks to, I don't know, just corollaries in what I'm reading, and this idea that every experience we've had is housed somewhere in our cellular body. And he doesn't talk about that as much, but he talks about when people go to do sort of these explorations beneath the surface that memories may come up, or but the way that one of the things I guess that strikes me too is he was talking about like sometimes the memory's not completely accurate. So I love like I can see that imagery of that iceberg and sort of like that tip of the iceberg analogy where we only see the very tip, which is like what do they say, like 10% or something, and then the 90% is beneath the surface. But that's so it's this hypnosis, I imagine, takes you into this exploration of things that you don't even realize it, like you're
Things that
saying,
you
like
don't
that.
even realize. And I've had clients who recalled things that I don't know if they're true. I don't know if they're true, but that's what came up for that person. And it doesn't happen often, but I've had people recall things that seem to be a past life, like I see myself in jail and I know I've never been in jail in this lifetime kind of thing. And is it my job to understand that? I don't think so. It's my job. I'm focused on the results. I'm focused on if this is what your subconscious is bringing up for you, this is what we need to work on. And there's no judgment here, right? There's a matter of this is what you're seeing and what could that mean? How could we recognize that in a new and different way? How could you bring yourself a different understanding about it and a new level of peace that will enable you to release that pain, release that weight, release that
Absolutely.
bad habit, let go of somebody who is no longer serving you in your life, whatever that is, because there's good on the other side. There's also an element, and I think it fits particularly well with your audience and your show, is that, hypnosis works whether you are kind of mystical and woo-woo or you're not. It will work in both worlds because it is actually it is how your brain works. We're really messing with the way that your brain works and leaning into certain brainwave patterns that make it easier to reshape thoughts, right? And
Right.
lean into that neuroplasticity to wire things up essentially in a new and different way. But one thing that I also see often, and not with all of my clients, but with a decent percentage of them, is that it really helps them to get closer to what they see in terms of their spirit, in terms of their ancestors, in terms of their guides, in terms of kind of what I think of as kind of the one mind or the super conscious wisdom. Hypnosis can help people to get into that world in a way that is safe and eye-opening and rewarding and constructive and helpful in peacemaking. And I
Yeah.
love working with clients like that.
So how does that with that, because when you're talking, I think this morning I was reading about different dimensions and sometimes how our thinking mind wants to think that these are places that are separate, but in a sense, are our subconscious memories another dimension as well?
I think that I kind of have come to think that, our brains are like radio connected to, they're sewn into our bodies, right? But there
Right.
are some ways and places where things really seem to be radio connected to other places, right? Like
Yes.
when you're thinking of your friend and she calls, like weird little synchronicities that are inexplicable
Right.
by statistics. Right.
Yes. Yes.
And hypnosis kind of helps to make more space for those beliefs and to bring a little bit more credibility to observing that. And in my mind, it is a fabulous way to help people, I don't know, kind of see the world in a new palette of colors or add the UVs or the I
Yeah.
don't know, because you begin to recognize that, of course, force equals mass times acceleration and all that kind of stuff. Like we still live in this world,
Yes.
but there are mystical things. There are things that we lack earthly scientific explanation for. And I don't know that that will be true forever. But it's true today. People used to sort of think of hypnosis as being paranormal. Well,
Yes, right.
people used to think of meteors as being rocks hurled by the gods. Like, it's a matter of when did science catch up to what's going on? And I think there's a lot that happens in hypnosis and hypnotherapy where it's going to take a long time for the science to catch up. But that doesn't mean that some of these observations about synchronicities that are statistically unbelievable are off base,
Yeah,
or made
and
up.
I absolutely, and I feel like hypnosis may be one of those things in our society and culture that has been marginalized. So when we go to clear challenges we've had, or most people aren't saying like I'm going to clear some energy, but clear challenges or understand ourselves better, that we've got our mainstream things that are actually they're it's a pretty narrow lane. And so then you've got all these different kind of things, which is always represented here at Mystical Sisterhood, but if someone was going to take hypnosis off the shelf and they were not sure about it, what could you tell them to maybe sort of normalize it in a way and explain what actually happens during a session?
Well, I watched a movie over the weekend, and in the movie, one of the characters hypnotizes two of the guards and they start playing Bach on their violins, so they won't distract what's going on. I mean, this is very, very fun for movies, but it is not how hypnosis works.
Okay.
So, a few things to tell people. Almost everyone can be hypnotized. It is a scale. It isn't kind of like black or white. It is not about whether you're super smart or an engineer or logical or creative. Like it, that is not connect. They haven't figured out what connects it to anything because there's not really a profile for who that is. But most people can be hypnotized. You do not do anything in hypnosis that you wouldn't do if you were awake. Your subconscious is there, turned on 24/7 since the moment you were born, probably before, that it is there to protect you. And so I can't do anything to someone in a state of hypnosis. I can't make them play Bach on their violin if they don't want to do that. People only do what they want to do, and they will only believe up to the edge of what is already within their belief state. And so for some people, if your goal is beyond your belief state, we need to work in little pieces until we can get up to achieving the results that someone wants. Anytime somebody doesn't want to be in a state of hypnosis, you know how you get out? You open your eyes and decide you're out. Like it's that instantaneous. Not every hypnotherapist is right for every client. You have to find somebody who you like, who you jive with, whose voice you like. Voice is important. Hypnosis leans into the sense of imagination. And so you're leaning into your sense of imagination and visualization for these things to happen. That being said, you can hypnotize people to focus more on sounds or smells or various other senses. It's not always just visual in terms of imaginary sense. And now we know this because we have fMRI machines that we didn't have in the 50s or 1500s, right? And we can see that certain parts of the brain dial down. They basically, you get kind of out of your own way. And so clients in a state of hypnosis are more suggestible. They're more open to new ideas. They are less associated with their body. So they're more able to imagine that, yes, they could conquer that ski slope, or yes, they could lose that weight. And they are more absorbed, meaning that when you're awake, you're looking out the window and you're noticing if it's cold and you're thinking about where you got to be next. In a state of hypnosis, it's really like watching a movie or something like that, where you're just completely focused on one thing. And so it can feel really good because, you know, we have so many things and distractions going on that to take 10 minutes, 30 minutes to be really focused on something is actually really peacemaking.
That is. You mentioned regression before, and you had said when you're in a hypnosis session, sometimes you do a regression. Does that regression always stay in this lifetime, or that's kind of out of your control? Or in your control, but possible.
It's not in my control. Different hypnotherapy schools teach different ways of doing regressions. Hypnosis always has an objective. So this is one of the things that comes up. What's the difference between hypnosis and meditation? Well, meditation might have an objective, but it might not. Hypnosis has an objective. We are working on that driving anxiety. We are figuring out why you can't let go of your ex-boyfriend, whatever it is. And to do a regression, I connect to that feeling, that frustration or that fear or that whatever that intense emotion is around the objective. And then we use that feeling to go back to whatever your subconscious mind associates with that feeling. And so I would say most often it is a time from childhood, sometimes teenagers, sometimes young adulthood, could have been 3 years ago. Like it's just something. Most often, my clients have gone back to places that are associated with this lifetime. They recognize this is the house they grew up in, whatever kind of thing. But occasionally, people go to places they don't recognize. And my job as the hypnotherapist is to work out why did this feeling go there? And what do we need to look at about there? You know, whether that's the garden and the bumblebees and the mom or the jail or whatever it is, and what's going on in that scene so that we can rework the way that the imagination is processing that in such a way that the person will experience a sense of relief and release and new feelings, new approaches in today's life. So, you know, it's fun to imagine that, you know, you're going to go see a hypnotherapist. First of all, I almost never do regressions on first appointments. We need to kind of build up to that a little bit. And then, you know, how you take that and process it is unique to the individual. I think another thing that I wanted to make sure to include with your group was that, you know, I went to school. I know the hypnosis way of doing things. You know, I went to hundreds of hours of training. Some hypnotherapists haven't, but I did. When
Yeah.
I first started my practice, I would write down, oh, Susie's coming in. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. I'm going to have a whole script. I had a whole plan.
Yes.
And then about 3 months later, Susie came and I had not done my plan quite so completely. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to like ask my higher self, what does Susie need? And what I found out was that my work got even better.
That's cool.
And
Yeah.
so my one-to-one work is very source related, channel
Yeah.
related, intuition related. It's all founded in all of the training that I have.
Yes.
But I just do so much better with people if I lean into that side of things as opposed to thinking I'm going to have it all worked out.
Yeah. Oh, I can relate to that, and kind of having that script when you first start out and the play by play, and then it's like, okay, I can, but you begin to know what you're doing so well that then that becomes your foundation, and then it's so neat, then you can pull
Yeah.
down some source
But then,
and
like, it's been really helpful. I have a new client, young teenager with, I don't know, some kind of neurodivergent thing going on. And all my regular tricks, not the right tricks for this client. So this has meant going back in looking at all the other things I learned in school about how do we approach this in different directions? How do we talk
That's
about dreams? How do we talk about role
great.
playing? How do we do this work? How do we get into the subconscious in ways that are not what my typical relax the client and get them dreamy and ask questions? Like this client, that's not going to work. So
That sounds like great training, because I think so many things are changing and there's so much diversity now that it's like on the ground training. So that's awesome. Now, is there a way that you differentiate, or do you consider hypnosis to be quantum healing? Or I kind of get the sense of what you're describing, that being in the dimensions of the subconscious, pulling down information that's there for you as a practitioner coming in, that feels to me like working in the quantum. How do you see
I
it?
don't use that word. And I don't know quite why I think this, but believe me, I love quantum physics. I was a science major. I studied all this stuff a long time ago. This, Schrodinger's cat and all the rest of it. I dig on that stuff. But I am of the belief that all of those things that we see happening at a quantum level, like a below visible level, right? Like a waves and particles level, I don't think that's the same mechanism, personally, that makes, these weird synchronicities happen that are at a macro level. I think they're actually different, but we just don't know what the macro level one is yet. And so we use this word quantum, but in my mind, I don't think that's the same thing. I think someday we'll figure that out. So I don't say quantum, but there's something going on. There's something going on. And maybe in my lifetime we'll figure it out. Maybe in a future lifetime we'll figure it out. I don't know. Took a long time to come up with that MRI machine, right?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love the work, and I love that hypnosis is becoming more widely talked about. Now, you have written a couple books. It looks like, maybe, I don't know if you wrote your first one, The ABCs of Conscious Leadership, when you were still in that field, or that's kind of cool that conscious was in the title.
I've written two books. My first book I published right about the time I started my practice, and it is called An Alignment of Spirit, Finding Work You Love.
First one.
And it is basically a law of attraction book about finding a job, which is kind of crazy, but that's really, in my digital marketing career, I had so many jobs turnover. When you're working in creative agencies and with big accounts, and they decide, oh, we're firing this agency and we're hiring that one. And so I had to learn how to manifest a job. And my book is lots of examples, both from my professional life as well as my personal life, about how to develop that way of thinking. Because I think that it's very helpful for people to have a manifestation way of thinking. And then my second book I wrote earlier this year, it published in February or March, and it was called the ABC, it is called the ABCs of Conscious Leadership. Last year I did some leadership training and it made me very excited about leadership, and I thought, oh, I want to talk about leadership, but I want to put it in a way that's very accessible and not like hard. So The book goes through A through Z on different traits of conscious leaders. I put
Cool.
in the
Yeah.
word conscious because I think there are leaders who are less than conscious, who are not really thinking, shall we say, or not thinking of the people. And so I just go through the whole alphabet. So A is for authentic, and it has a personal story, and it has somebody who is authentic, whose name starts with A, because I could never remember otherwise. That's Abraham Lincoln. And then B is for brave. That's Lucille Ball, and my personal story about brave. And it goes all the way through to Z. So it's a
Very
very
cool. Yeah.
fun, light little book. But I'm a hypnotherapist, but I'm also very practical. And kind of business oriented and market oriented and love that kind of stuff. And some hypnotherapists are like me and some are not.
Right. Well, and I have to say that you get shit done because you're a very abundant creator. So you have, tell us about the app, because I think the app is your voice recordings that people can use on their own. Like I could go out, I can get the app. So tell us all about that.
So my app is called Make My Hypno. And what it does is it creates a custom hypnosis recording for the client based on their inputs, their data, in about 5 minutes. So what I realized was that, there's Calm, there's YouTube, there's all these different places where you can go and download a hypnosis recording. And some are free, and some are memberships, and some are whatever, but they're all pre-recorded. They are not made for you, Maureen, today on this thing that you want to work on. And while there are clients who are best served with my one-to-one time, where we're diving deep on what's going on with them, there are other clients who, they got a big presentation tomorrow and they're having a little imposter syndrome and they want some help, right? Or they can't go to sleep, but they're not yet ready to invest in one-to-one work. So I created Make My Hypno so people could go say what they wanted, ask for it, and get it. And it emails the recording directly to the person who's purchased it, and you get to own it forever. You can download it to your computer. I recommend people download it to their tablets or phones and listen to it as they fall asleep at night. Then you don't have to actually take time out of your day. The recordings are about 16 minutes long. They are all done in my scripting style and my voice. Someday I may add options, but right now that's what's there. And there are 19 things right now. There will be a few more different topics that you can
Oh, neat.
create your recording for. So, is it everything? No, because there are things that I don't believe are best served. So, you will not find smoking on the list. Because you want smoking, you should talk to me or a professional hypnotherapist for one-to-one work. That's not going to work with a little 15-minute recording, right? It's not always true, but it is often true that kind of the size of your problem might be related to the size of your solution. So, if you're getting on an airplane and usually that's been okay, but you just want a little support, app's a great way to go.
That's
You want to
neat.
get on an airplane, this has been going on for 5 years, you don't know why, maybe we should talk, right?
Personal appointment. But I like the tailor-made app because there's lots of times that I will be settling down for the evening and I want to listen to a meditation of some sort. And maybe it's like to connect to my dreams or my spirit guides or whatever it is, but it's like a whole sea of things. So then, I probably most of the time will abandon it because I think that we kind of want our tried and true things and our something simple and easy to go to. So for me, when you describe what the app is, that's why it sounds attractive.
It's easy. It's
It's
easy.
easy.
It's very easy. And I made this so that it emails the recording to people because I don't want them to have to go back and look for the, I don't know, put in their password or whatever. I call it an app, but to be clear, it's a .com website. I call it an app because it functions like an app, but it's not in the, you won't find it in the iPhone store or the Google Play store. You'll find it at makemyhypno.com. And I have a special discount code I can give you for show notes for your listeners,
Oh, that's great.
to take some money off of their purchase.
Okay, great. So that's wonderful. And then, as we circle towards the end here, Michelle, I was on your website and it looks like you just have different programming going on. And the one, I think that we're going to miss it by the time this airs, but you have one about stopping your cravings with sugar. And I know that that's a big thing for people. So, do you do group work with that sometimes?
So I have my SOS, Stop Overeating Sugar, is a very popular class I have. It's half about making better choices with sugar, and then it's half hypnosis. I run it several times a year. It runs in early January, and then I think in 2026, I think it'll be like May and probably September. And I'm also looking at making it a evergreen class if you don't want to attend the session. When you do the session, it's nice. I get to meet you and answer questions and that kind of thing. But I'm also going to start publishing it as an inexpensive download
Very
for
nice.
anybody.
Yes. And then different classes on, I think, leadership. And you've just
I've done classes on all kinds of stuff.
got it. I think it's great. Because then you get to see what people are looking for, how people are, opening and get feedback with what they
Well, it's
want
also
to.
another thing some of your listeners might be interested in is every month I do something called Nourish and Flourish. And the details for this is on my classes page, like the other stuff. Nourish and Flourish is about 45 minutes. It's Friday, a Friday at lunchtime Pacific. So that's 12 p.m. Pacific time. Usually the second Friday, although it floats around a little bit. The dates are always there on my page. It is free online group hypnosis. So I pick a topic that I think would be good for most people for that month, and we do a session of
Oh,
free
that's
online
cool.
group hypnosis. So, and it tends to be a little seasonal. So January is usually fresh starts, and February is usually about love, not like romantic love, but just love. And so it's a nice way for people to meet me and try me out for
Absolutely.
nothing for your time.
So I will put all the details of your website and how to get a hold of you in the show notes. As we circle now to the end, Michelle, I always ask, and this may be a channeled message that comes through, but in this moment at this time, is there any message or messages that are coming to you that you feel are important to share with the audience? And that we're largely women. We have some men listen, so it can be, for all humans, really. But if there's anything coming, I'd love to hear.
I'd say have hope. And something I heard recently was that hope is a behavior. And I like this very much because a few years ago, I did some work around the theme of love is a verb. Love is a verb. Hope is a behavior. How do you take these sort of quintessential and spirit-minded themes and turn them into actions? How do you allow them to help you get unstuck? How do you allow them to open up about a topic that's been hurting you, or ask a friend for help, or reach out in some way? We need a lot of hope and love in the world right now, and I would wish that for all of your listeners in 2026 and on.
And mobilizing it. I love that kind of the action, the
Activating
verb,
it,
the
make it
behavior,
action.
activating.
I'm not a gal who just, I mean, yes, I have a lot of ideas. I have more ideas than I can ever deliver on, but a book's no good if it doesn't publish. Like you gotta finish things. You gotta make them happen.
And to collectively come together and hold that hope is really important too. So thanks for sharing your life, your story, your vision, and everything that you've been cultivating for a lifetime, really, and sharing it with Mystical Sisterhood.
This has been so fun. Thank you to Mystical Sisterhood, and thank you to Maureen.
Thanks, Michelle. Okay, to the listener, we'll see you in the next episode and check the show notes for Michelle's information. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.